Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Oh my goodness me. I don't think I could actually love this anymore. I've been here nearly a week and I can't decide what I love more. I don't know who I love more. I just love it all. I love everyone. I love you. I love it all. I love America. It's just like, yeah, it's too much. I'm like running around hugging everyone. I'm like, oh, yes. I love you. I haven't hugged you yet, Colin Tubb. Do you think we could hug it out? Because I feel like, yeah, this is like, so good to see you too. Colin and my husband Colin bonded because they're bald and so, yeah, they have a special connection. Oh, it's so good to be back with you. I've been with the Cherish Girls. How much fun did we have? And with the City, My City Youth at North. And then South Campus. We had fun this morning, and now we're here at Central, so it's so good to be with you. But I want to honour your senior pastors, because I love them. We had Pastor Jürgen preach our first ever Young Adult Conference. It was the first one we'd ever done. Con and I had no idea what we were doing. And we had Jürgen, and that was... like, it was such a defining time for Colin and I. And I remember when you came, you prophesied over us. And at the time, I thought, that's cool. That's okay. But then the poop hit the fan in a season that we were in, and out came the word. And it was your word that, for me, really kind of locked me into the season I needed to be in, but I didn't want to be in. And Colin, and you know, sends his love, but you guys are heroes. We watch you from afar. We cheer you on from afar, but we learn so much from you. And so grateful that you've opened up your platform for me to be here. This is like, you know, like Lisa Bevere. It's just like, you know, every day for her, this is like hashtag big deal for me, okay? Okay. You know, and we're just so grateful to you guys. And, you know, I was over for Cherish. I just came to your conference 2 years ago because I wanted to just, I don't know, I just thought I've got to catch something. I've got to see it. I've got to get it. The world hasn't quite heard yet about Cherish, but it's going to. And I remember we were having dinner and I heard Pastor Leanne say, she's like, I've become a seed and harvest obsessive person. I'm obsessed with seed and harvest. And I remember she said that over dinner 2 years ago, and now it's like harvest everywhere in your life. Like, it's grown so unbelievably, like, huge. And it's just because you've kept sowing. And we've learned so much, Becky and I being here, and we've learned so much from you. We're taking so much away, and thank you so much for having us. I don't think you know how incredible your senior pastors are. Like, do you? Like, the world needs to know about this couple. We love you. And all your campus pastors, oh my goodness, all your department leaders, yeah. John and Becky, I can't handle John and Becky. England has never seen so much beauty in two people. Oh my goodness, I have to keep my distance. But you guys are unbelievable. Love what you are building here. You're so inspirational, and believe in God for great things for you as well. And as a campus, and this is like, I haven't been able to hang out with you, but this is a hangout now, okay? So we're just gonna bond over this. Yeah, this is it. So why don't we just quickly lift our hands, we're gonna pray, and then we'll get into it tonight. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this house. Thank you for the vision, Lord God. Father, many, 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 many campuses, many souls, many buildings. Father, we prophesy over San Diego right now. Father, the greatest move of your spirit is coming. not just because you're going to cause a revival, but people here are picking up their responsibility. Father, we speak, Lord God, churches, campuses, locations, leaders, growth in every area. Father, we see souls being saved in unconventional places. People lining up to be in the house of God on a Sunday. Father, we prophesy into this house, Central Campus, Lord God, a new footprint, a new space, an enlarging, a bigger territory, a bigger place to home and house what you are doing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Father, we believe you're going to speak to us. You're going to challenge us. Father, you're going to take us on as we build your house, the local church, the greatest privilege on this earth. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in this place this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seats. I love this. This is all so pretty. Just going to enjoy it because I don't get this a lot. And I can't believe there's only two singers out of three in Destiny's Child and I still didn't get called. I'm not a secure pastor's wife. I wanted to be all up on that stage, but I wasn't. So it's all good. So is it okay if we just jump straight in? Yes. Okay, so we're going to go straight to 2 Timothy this evening. I've got a message called Don't Stop on Destiny. Don't stop on destiny. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy where we find Paul writes his final letter to Timothy. And you know that when it's somebody's final words, they're going to be of some significance and some weight and some value. Well, you would think so. My grandmother passed away in November and her final words to me were, "Remember me when you eat it." Honestly, I'm eating things. I'm like, was this what she meant? I remember. I still don't know what she meant, but I think Paul's words maybe had a little bit more significance than my grandmother's words. Oh, remember me when you eat it. Eat what, Nana? Oh, she's gone. I'll have to wait till heaven to find out. 89 years old, we didn't know where she was at with God all her life, and on her deathbed, the only thing she said was the name Jesus. How cool is that? So she's in heaven, having a party, and eating things or something, I don't know. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is Paul's final kind of words in his letter to Timothy. We're going to read it from the Message version. I, Paul, am on special assignment for Christ. Somebody say assignment. I, Paul, am on special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's plan laid out in the message of life by Jesus. I write this to you, Timothy, the son I love so much. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. I, Paul, am on special assignment. So these are his final letter to Timothy, his final thing he can teach him. And he writes from a place of assignment. But when we rewind and kind of look at the moment where Paul was converted from Saul to Paul, we find something even more awesome in these words in Acts chapter 9. These were the words that God spoke over Paul before his conversion, moments before he said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name from the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name. Okay, it doesn't say he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry his destiny, right, to work out his destiny, but a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name, yeah, before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. From the moment of Paul's conversion to the moment he wrote that final letter to Timothy, he spoke and gave his life to one thing, and that was the assignment that Christ had placed upon him. He lived from a place of assignment. Wow. He didn't live from a place of destiny, and he didn't live from a place of his calling or his purpose. He lived from a place of God's assignment placed upon him. He wasn't just interested in this, he was obsessed with this. He obsessed and gave everything within his life to the assignment God had put on it. And now I am an obsessive person. Have I got any obsessive people here? Like, you get hooked on things, but only momentarily, and then you're hooked on the next thing. Like TV shows. Oh my gosh. Do you have one born every minute here? Oh, I love it. I'm like, push! One born every minute. If you don't know, you don't want to know. For those of you that do know, it is so awesome. Like, you're just watching women in labor. I actually love it. I'm obsessed with that. But is that weird? Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, it's great TV. But if you haven't had children, I don't want to do that. Do you have Married at First Sight? Yes. Oh, I was obsessed with this program. Married at First Sight. It is exactly what you think it is. Yes. Two people, two strangers. They don't meet. They don't know each other. They have filled in a questionnaire. And somebody who says, I'm a scientific expert in relationships. No, you're not. You're not. You're really not. But you are getting paid a lot of money to say that you are. They collate the results and they pair people. And they literally get married at first sight. Terrible marriages, but unbelievable TV. So honestly, you have to watch it. It's so good. Because it's like, it is her dream day. I'm like, on it, like, let's be honest, they're idiots. But it's her dream day. She's like, it's the whole works. They spent thousands of pounds on this, their wedding. Like, she's got the dress and you see it. She's kind of like, oh, I'm so nervous, I'm so nervous. And then she walks out and the guy's there and she walks around the corner. She's like, oh, no, I don't like him. Like, I get obsessed with TV shows. But my husband, Colin, he's renowned for short-term temporary obsessions. Okay? Well, in England, we call them like a fad. Yeah. That works. You have to be careful what you say around here because not everything means the same, so. So he has a lot of fads, okay? Short, temporary, exciting things in his life. So he read a book called The Maker's Diet, okay? Yeah. Yeah. 2 months. 2 months, all I ate was seeds. Seeds. I hate the food shop, I hate the cooking, I hate the cleaning up. So he said, I'm gonna just step in, babe, and carry your cross and feed the family for this next period, and it's gonna be the maker's diet, and we're not eating from the bottom of the ocean, we're only eating from the tree or something. Seeds. He came home and I was like, how much have you spent today, Colin? He's like, oh, only like £8,000. Wow, that's a lot of seeds. Like He gets obsessed over starch spray. Do you have a starch spray here? Yes, no, whoa, are you living in the same country? Yeah, the crisp shirt thing. Yeah, oh, wow, we have that. We had 18 cans of that in our home. And my husband's from London, so it's, babe, can you starch my shirt for me, please? I'm like, sorry. He's like, you starch my shirt. So I'd iron the shirt, and again, I'm not really domesticated, so I'm really bad at ironing. So I'd have to starch the shirt, and he's like, if you're going to do it, this is how you got to do it. Like, there was a way to starch the spray, the shirt. We don't do that anymore because that was just a fad. Protein shakes. We've had protein shakes. I have to spend, like, okay, $40 on a bag of protein. He goes for one run. Has two shakes. I still have the protein shake in my cupboard, okay? I'm terrible. I get obsessed in things, but then I move on. Like, I'm obsessed with one item of clothing. Does anybody else do this? You buy it and you wear it and you think, I don't have anything else in my wardrobe. I have no clothes. I only have this one item. And then you move on and you're on to the next thing. For Paul, this was not a temporary fad. This was not a momentary obsession. This is what he actually gave his life to. This was not a season. This wasn't a, you know, 6 month ministry. This wasn't even an internship for him. This was his life. He gave his life for the assignment that God had put him on him. But I find it quite interesting that a man that is on the brink of his completion of destiny writes his final words and doesn't mention destiny. Arguably, a man that has achieved the most doesn't mention what he has achieved. One of the most famous authors writers of all time never wrote about the word destiny. He never taught us how to live out our destiny. He never taught us to seek my destiny and my purpose. He only ever taught us one thing, and that is how to live out the assignment that Christ has put upon us, to carry his name to a broken generation, to help blind eyes be opened, to open the prison gates and set captives free, to rescue people and bring them into the house of God. But this bugs me, okay? And I feel like I can just put it out there because we're family now, right? But it bugs me because I feel like there has been a language change within our church culture and our church society over these, I don't know, past few years. And I don't speak French, okay? I'm not good with languages. Oh, no, I can say my wheelie bin flew away. My bin flew away. Mes poubelles ont volé. That's all I've got. But it's like there's been a language change and I don't understand it. Because now we've introduced this term destiny, where people are, young adults all around society and churches are talking about how they can find their destiny, how they can serve their destiny, how they can find out exactly what God is calling them to, when he's going to open up the door for them, how they're going to serve, when they're going to serve my destiny. It's been like this language and culture shift within the church. And the leading force of our lives have become destiny and not assignment. It's going to be quiet. But, okay, we're getting a bit destiny junkie here, people. We live in this need to know age, obsessed with our unique calling, our unique defined purpose. I've got to know who I'm going to marry, when I'm going to marry them. Are they going to come alongside me and propel me into my destiny? I need a prophecy right now about my destiny. I'm not serving your vision, I'm serving my vision. You might need to book an Uber. Things get heated in here. I'm a fast runner, so I can be out of that door. It's all got a little bit destiny junky. When Paul never wrote about his destiny, he only ever wrote about his assignment. I need to know my destiny. I need to know my future. I need to know my calling. I need to know my purpose. I need to know. Do you know what we really need a revelation of? What the young adult generation, what the church right now needs a revelation of is the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom, his purpose, his assignment, and all that other stuff. All that other stuff, your purpose, your career, your studies, that will just get added to you. Can I just keep going just for a little bit longer? And like, I promise I'll line it up. But can we talk about Jeremiah 29:11? Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, we have what I would call an overlove with this scripture. Okay, overlove. It's a little bit like me and Leanne, Pastor Leanne. It's like a bit of an overlove thing. But I think I'm in the healthy zone. But I'm wearing the same lipstick as her, so okay, maybe we're tipped out. But she taught me where to go. Because Jeremiah 29:11, if you are not a Christian or you are new to Christ, this scripture is revolutionary for you. To know that he has a purpose and he has a plan and he has a future for you. If you are newly saved, you've got to get a hold of this scripture. It's got to become everything that you fixate your life upon, because you've got to understand there is a future and there is a hope, and it's greater than anything this world can offer, the education can offer, your career can offer, your husband, your girlfriend. It's greater than anything you can offer. But then we bed into the life of the church and we keep having an overlove with this scripture. And I think it's because we see two words. We see plans and we see future. And we get obsessed. What is my plan? I need to know my plan. God, what's my plan? Now I'm here and I'm serving you. What's the plan? when am I going to get to sit on the front row? When am I going to get chosen to go on internship? When will I go on staff? And what's the plan? When am I going to get the man of power for the hour? What's the plan, God? What's the plan? What's my future? Where's my future? Where's it going? Where's it taking me? Am I going to be recognized for my ministry and my destiny? What's the plan? What's the future? What's the plan? What's the future? Okay, let's have another look at the scripture. For I know. Okay? The whole purpose of this scripture is to release you from the bondage of having to know and figure it out. Because the Bible says, for I know, for he knows. He's got this covered. He knows the plans he has for you, and he knows the future he has for you. And side note, his plans and his future for you are unbelievable. You could never comprehend how much God has in store for your life and for this house. If he was to give you a glimpse, it would almost be too much for you. It's far more than you can ask him. It's far more than you can think. It's far more than you can imagine. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could conceive what he has in store for you. Your future is incredible. But listen, we can know the sky's the limit and we can forget about it. And we can get on with serving the assignment that Jesus Christ has actually put upon our life to build the local church, to carry his name to a broken generation, to see people saved, to go find people that are paralyzed, put them on a stretcher, bring them to the house of God, put them in front of the presence of someone that can pray for them. Because when we live from destiny, we are the center of the picture. It's like the selfie generation. But when we live from assignment, Christ is at the center of the picture. And I have found, I know I look 16, but I'm a really mature 32. But I have found in my journey that I've never needed to be the center of my own world because I am at the center of his world. And so whilst I attend to his needs and his purpose and his kingdom, he will attend to my household and my marriage and my children and my family. You don't need to be the center of the picture because you're at the center of his. When we live from destiny, we remove ourselves from seasons and teams because it doesn't fit. People say, I can't serve on your team anymore because my season's ended. Are you a weather girl? Well, actually, somebody is a weather girl, so you can call that, but... People are serving on teams in the life of the church for 6 months and saying, my season's finished, I've got to go, because it isn't. And we had this in our church recently, and they had to pin me down to the floor. Our kids pastor said, oh, this so-and-so's left the kids team. And I said, why have they left the kids team? They were awesome on the kids team. That was just like they were seeing kids grow, like it was a great fit for them. And they said, oh, because they said it wasn't serving their destiny and where they were heading right now. When did it ever become your destiny? Like you died, okay? When you give your life to Christ, you die. And you pick up the assignment of Christ. It's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. So I'll serve on the youth team for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years till you kick me off. I'll put the chairs out for 6 months, 6 years till you kick me off. I'll get in a car and I'll drive the worship team to the next church plant at 4 a.m. because it's not my destiny, it's not my agenda. It's the assignment of Christ placed upon me. Paul didn't write from destiny, he wrote from assignment. This is not a movement. This is not a church that is driven by me. This is a movement driven by the assignment of Christ. Okay, let's talk about Jacob. Let's get the attention away from me being quite fierce to you. Let's talk about Jacob. Jacob was a man in the Bible who became, for a season in his life, obsessed with what he could obtain, with what he could get a hold of. When we read the story, we see that he buys a birthright and he steals a blessing from under his own father's blind eyes. Like my dad was temporarily blind in one eye, and I admit I did a few tricks. But this is next level. Next level, Cherish Girls, capital C, crazy. So, okay, you've got Isaac and Rebecca, mom and dad. You've got two sons, Esau and Jacob. And what's happening is Isaac's about to die and he says, I need to give my blessing to my eldest son, Esau. So he calls in Esau and he says, listen, I'm going to die. I've got to give you my blessing. And this is what I want you to do. I need you to go and kill a goat, prepare a meal. I'm going to eat it and I'm going to bless you. That sounds nice. That's good. We can go with that. Meanwhile, outside the door, his wife, Rebecca, is listening in on this conversation. Capital C, crazy lady. Because she has a favorite son and it's not Esau, it's Jacob. So she hears what's happening and she's like, no, no, he cannot get the blessing. Jacob's got to get the blessing. So she, in a crazy lady mom mode, runs, finds Jacob and says, Jacob, listen, we got to get in here. The blessing's about to go. You've got to get it. We've got to intervene. He's like, yeah, mom, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? She's right. You're going to have to go and kill a goat. You have to prepare a meal. Do it before your brother. Get before your father. And like, this is how crazy it gets. And then he can pray for you and give you the blessing. At this point, you would think Jacob would say, mom, that's not a good idea. That's not good. That's not okay. This is our father. This is our brother. At this point, you think, nah, time out. I'm tapping out. I'm like, I'm gone. No. His question was, but mom, my brother's really hairy. He's working it out in his head. So if he touches me and he feels me, he's going to know that I'm Jacob. And this is what you've got to know about mothers and women. They've got a solution for everything. Listen, no problem too great, no wall too high. We can scale it and we will find a way, okay? So she's like, okay, I've got a hair issue here. She's like, I've got it. Kill the goat, and with the goat, I'll take the skins from the goat, and I will attach them to the smooths of your hand, the smooths of your neck, and then you can go in there, and if he reaches out and touches you, it's going to be okay, because you've got your hair on. How hairy. How hairy is Esau? I'm like, Chewbacca? Colin Tubb? That's like a lot of beard there. Well done, good and faithful servant. You keep laughing, I'll just work out where I am. He's so fixated and obsessed with what he can obtain and what he can get that he's dressing himself in goat hair just so he can obtain another blessing. But God has to take him onto a mountain so that he can wrestle the destiny junkie out of him. He has to set some things straight in Jacob's mind. Maybe God needs to reset some things in your mind tonight. We find in Genesis that this moment where God wrestles the destiny junkie out of him, and it says in Genesis 32, I will read some scripture now because I feel like I just ripped it apart then, but I thought it was great storytelling. I mean, it's like Jürgen, Pastor Jürgen storytelling. Like, but I'm a good light down here, wasn't I? Yeah. You had that Chewbacca vision, didn't you? Okay. But I'll just read it just for, you know, just for those that like to be read to. So Genesis 32, this is the moment where God has to wrestle the destiny junkie out of Jacob. The same night he rose and he took his two wives, not here to judge, two female servants and 11 children. And he crossed
the ford of the Jabbok.
You would do that, wouldn't you? That was good, that. Yeah, yeah. I won't be able to say it properly because I'm not Pastor Jürgen. Is he like the most intelligent guy ever? Like, it's not fair. Stop hogging all the brains. He took them and he sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. As a whole of the message for a young adult generation, being alone with Christ, being alone with God, allow him to actually just go there for a few moments. It says, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. And as he wrestled with him, and then he wrestled with him, and then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Okay, you've stolen a birthright, you've bought a birthright, you've stolen a blessing, and you still want more blessing, time out. Because it doesn't matter how high you climb the career ladder. It doesn't matter how good your grades are at college, at university. It doesn't matter how good your stature is in your society, in your group. It doesn't matter how much money you have, what you obtain, whether you have the prettiest girl in San Diego on your arm. You are never going to be fulfilled until God places his assignment upon your life. To carry his name to a broken generation, to build his church. And then we find this moment where God blesses Jacob, but he blesses him with his assignment. And he says, okay, I'm going to change your name. And we can have the keys up as well now. We always need that to hurry me along. And God in this moment thinks, okay, I'm going to bless you, but this time I'm going to bless you with your assignment. So all this time you've been scrapping around, seeing what you can get, what you can obtain, what you can achieve, what you can beg, what you can steal, what you can borrow. But from this moment on, I'm going to put a blessing, an assignment on your life that's going to shift everything. And we see that God changes his name. And he says, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. I'm now going to call you Israel. Now, I mean, if I was going in for a blessing, I'd probably want a little bit more than a name change. But you got to take what you can get sometimes. I'm not sure I prefer Israel to Jacob. I think I would have rather stayed with Jacob. J to the cop, J. Like, not much you can do with Israel. Is it? No, you're right. Rael. I'm keeping it Israel. Oh, okay. Yeah, Israel is it. Okay. So he changes his name and says, I'm no longer going to call you Jacob, I'm going to call you Israel. But what we know is that Jacob goes on to have 12 sons. And those 12 sons went on to become the 12 heads of each of the tribes of Israel. So all of a sudden, it is not about what Jacob can beg, steal and borrow. It is not about the birthrights and it is not about the blessings, but it is now about what he will birth. It's not about what he can get. It's now about what he can give. He'd spent so much time trying to get, to climb the ladder, to be the number one, the top brother, to be recognized. But in this moment, God said, it is not going to be about what you can get, but what you will give birth to. Not what you can get a hold of, but what you can give to this world. Not about your destiny anymore. It's about the assignment of Christ placed upon you. And Colin and I, we've been married 10 years and kind of ended up in ministry straight away when we got married, really. And when we got married, we didn't get any marriage counseling. That might be the problem. You book it in, marriage counseling. Let him know. Just when we get back, we'll sort that out. But it didn't really work out. We didn't end up having marriage counselling. So I thought, well, I'm going to have something. So I thought, I'll get a scripture. Well, that will do. Just get a scripture. And this was our scripture as we went into marriage. In Isaiah, it says, they are the shoot that I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendour. And so we just went into marriage simply thinking, okay, if we can just be seed in the ground, the work of his hands, and everything we do, everything we put our hand to, everything that our life grows in would display his splendor. And we never have had to have an emergency meeting in our household about our destiny. God placed his assignment on Colin and I. We clean the windows. I'm really good at cleaning windows. He was the one that hoovered everything, vacuumed. We have vacuumed. What do you say here? Vacuumed. Okay. Colin has vacuumed every inch of the auditorium we are now leading in. Multiple times, over and over and over again. I've cleaned all of those windows multiple times. I've changed every bin liner, and it really annoys me when people leave bin liner on show, because in my day, no bin liner on show. Okay. I got asked to serve on the youth team. Yeah, I'll serve on the youth team. Awesome. The leaders came and said, we feel like you're... We want to move you on to now this team. Would you do that? hey, we're planting a church in Leeds and we're going to need some bit of an advertising strategy. Can you research like bus shelter advertising? Yeah, I can do that. Hey, we're going to plant a church in Newcastle. Would you hop in the car and come up and support the team, set up, pack down? Yeah, we'll do that. Hey, we take on the student ministry and we want to reach university students. Want you to run a service on campus? Yeah, we'll do that. I was telling Pastor Leanne that Colin and I were both on staff and then both lost our job in the same day. Now, did we then walk out and say, okay, our destiny's aborted, our destiny's finished, we're going to have to rework this thing? No, we kept serving in the same capacity, doing exactly the same role with no pay packet attached to it because God's assignment was placed upon us. And that assignment hadn't changed because a pay packet has nothing to do with your assignment. You don't need a pay packet to carry the name of Jesus to a broken generation to see people saved. And people say, how come you're the lead pastor of the church? And do you know what I honestly think? Because when I was on youth team, they said, can you look after the new Christians? I went and designed the ugliest new Christian program you could ever see. And I printed it off and I carried it to my little room and I handed out the booklets. And I talked them through the first steps of being a Christian. At the end of the class, I brought in all the booklets and I took them home and I prayed over those kids. And the next week I'd go back and hand out the booklets and we'd grow in Jesus. And then I'd take the booklets home and I'd pray over them. I think it's because when God put a little bit in my hand, I worked with all my might as if I was working unto him. Don't let the enemy tell you it's about your destiny. Don't let the enemy tell you you need to leave the team you're on because it isn't serving you, because it is not about your destiny. It's about the assignment that Christ has placed upon you. And when Pastor Jürgen and Leanne say, oh, we're one church, three campuses, we're going to be 16, you'll stand on your chair and you will wave your Bible. Yeah, Pastor. Well, but the only way that that vision can be outworked is once you finish waving your Bible, because let's be enthusiastic about the vision, is you put it down and you head over and you say, right, what can I do? How can I serve? I've got a car. It's got some space. I can drive it over. Hey, I've got some resource. I want to start sowing into it. I've got time. What can I do? And it might be absolutely nothing to do with what you're studying. It might be absolutely nothing to do with your career path. It might not link. It might not feed into. But listen, when God's assignment comes upon you, it is no longer about what you can get, but what you can give. Let's live assigned. This is not about your next season. Some of you might have come tonight thinking, I'm going to get a word for my next season. And I felt the Holy Spirit say that there was somebody here and you've been offered a job. And you're about to leave. You're kind of deciding whether to take the job. It means leaving San Diego to take the job. And there are times, you know, God calls us into our careers and relocates us. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, that's a destiny move, not an assignment move. And there's someone here and your assignment is to stay here. In this vision, in this house, it's a lot easier to find a job than it is a good church. Okay? So stick with assignment. Seek first the kingdom of God. He'll add the rest. This is not about your next season. It's about your next seed. And the enemy is so annoying, isn't he? It's just the most irritating thing, wasp at a picnic, just like, I'm even surprised he bothers coming around here. Like, I wouldn't. Leanne gets up, the devil walks out. Seriously. Woo. He's like, no, don't tell him I was going to do that. But I think the enemy has run riot, especially in the young adult generations. And he has been stealing assignments and replacing them with destiny. He's been stealing seeds that should have been planted in the ground to grow and display the splendor of God. He's been stealing them and replacing it with this word destiny. But listen, don't stop on destiny. There's so much more than your destiny. There is an assignment placed upon you. to reach the lost and to reach the broken, to see your work colleagues saved for Jesus, to see whole rows filled with your family members, to carry his name to a broken generation, to reach out and offer to pray with that mom that's struggling, to reach out and offer to pray for that grandma that's sick. And I feel like many of you have just dropped the seed. But it was like I saw all these seeds on the ground in between the chairs as they've been dropped, because the enemy's made you think it's all about you. And it is about you, but it's not about you. You're at the center of his picture. But let's have his mission and his purpose at the center of ours. Even like this, like, a seed all over the ground that's just been dropped by young adults. Oh, the house of God, no, I'm serving my career, I'm serving my degree, I'm serving my studies, and that's all good. I did a degree, I worked outside of church whilst volunteering in church, but I did it living assigned. But it's like I can see like heaven, and there's like these trap doors, and all the little angels are like stood holding the trapdoors, ready to release seed from heaven. Because you might have dropped that seed, but there's plenty more where that came from. Yeah. You might have walked away from your assignment, but there's plenty more seed that God wants to put in your hand. And it's like they're stood waiting for you to stand and say, listen, it's not about my destiny, it's about his assignment. God, give me seed. Let me plant it in the ground. Let my life grow and glorify the name and the power of you. And tonight, for some of you, this is going to be a reconfiguring, a shifting, because you have made it all about your destiny. And I don't know America. I've not lived in America, but I hear a lot of people moving to LA to pursue their destiny, moving to New York to climb the career ladder for their destiny. People leaving churches because it isn't serving their destiny. I need to find the place that'll serve my ministry and my destiny. But not C3 San Diego. This is a church that is going to live assigned for Jesus Christ. Maybe just with eyes closed, and you're here tonight and you're thinking, do you know what? I need to realign. I've been living for my destiny, but I want to live under the assignment of Christ. Yeah. All in this place, I want you to lift your hands to heaven, ready to receive not direction for your next season, but seed for your next season. Because when Pastor Jürgen and Leanne say 16 campuses, that's you guys. The leaders of those campuses are in this room. Father, all in this place right now, Father, we begin to lay down our destiny, our desire, our personal ambition. And Father, in this place, we pick up the assignment of Christ. And Father, we make a commitment in this place. We make a commitment to stand for the assignment of Jesus Christ upon our lives. And Father, we lay down our agenda right now. Father, we lay down everything that we have lifted and exalted above the purpose and the plan of Jesus Christ. And Father, in this place, we give our lives to the assignment of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's begin to lift. Let's just begin to get some volume in this room right now. Some of you, I want you to stand in this place. I want you to stand in this place. Come on, let's get some volume in this room. This is not about our destiny anymore. This is about our assignment. Father, we prophesy a shifting in the culture in America. Father, people not self-serving and self-seeking, but picking up the seed of heaven, picking up their assignment in Jesus' name. Father, we prophesy over C3 San Diego as they plant churches. Let it be from many young adults living assigned under the name of Jesus Christ, putting down their agenda and lifting up the agenda of Jesus Christ. Father, we make a commitment in this place to carry your name to a broken generation, to lift your name, to see the prison doors open in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, let's begin to worship. Let's begin to praise. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Pastor Beth a hand. What a message. Incredible message. My goodness. What an amazing message that we all needed to hear. All of us needed to hear that. The devil's such a dog, isn't he? He tries to tell you to chase your destiny, but it's actually, the Bible says, when we lose our life, that's when we find it. It's incredible. It's incredible. I remember Pastor Jurgen telling me something way long ago, and he said, if you'll do anything for God, he'll let you do something. He'll let you do something. So I just decided to just throw my agenda aside and let God, the assignment of God. Why don't you just close your eyes just for a moment? You know, Jesus went on assignment from heaven. His assignment was to save our life, to reconnect us with God in heaven. And there may be some people here that you've never actually asked Jesus into your life. Maybe you've never invited God into your world and made him your Father. And so I want to give you an opportunity today with every eye closed, head bowed. If that's you tonight, can you just lift your hand right where you are? I want to pray with you tonight. Is there anybody out there that saying right now, I want to invite Jesus into my life? Or maybe one time you did, but you've taken your life back. But tonight you're saying, you know what? I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to step back into the assignment that I know he's given me. Is there anybody like that? Just lift your hand right now so that I can pray with you right where you are with every eye closed and head bowed. Is there anybody like that? Oh, thank you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand where you are. Thank you. I see that hand back there. God bless you. Is there one more person? Come on, let's leave on assignment. God bless you, sir. I see that hand in the back. So proud of you. With every eye closed, I'm just going to pray a quick prayer. I want everybody in the building to repeat after me. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today, help me live on assignment from you to reach a broken world. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into my life. Tonight I declare that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give those people a hand. Prayed that prayer for the first time. Maybe you rededicated. God bless you. Amen. Hey, before you leave, we have a response lounge right here. So on your way out, if you would stop by there, there's that handsome man right there. Just stop by there. We want to give you a Bible, a little book to help you follow Jesus. And it's just a quick read. We just want to help you take that next step. And also, on your way out, how many people enjoyed that message? Pastor Beth? Come on, that was a world-class message. And we believe in honoring at this church. And Pastor Jurgen and Leanne heard that when they started this church, that if we would honor the people that God brings, and he would continue to bring those that he honors. And so we want to honor Pastor Beth tonight with a love offering. And you can give by text to give. You can give online. We have ushers that'll be at the door on the way out. They have some buckets. You can get an envelope and prepare that on your way out. Put that in there. But let's honor Pastor Beth. Let's make sure she wants to come back to San Diego at some point. Maybe she can bring her hubby, although Becky's cool. Becky, you're really cool too. We love you too. But let me just pray for you as you prepare your offering. Father, I thank you for that extraordinary word. And Father, we honor Pastor Beth, Colin, their church. Lord, we love them. And Father, we pray that they would be blessed. Lord, we pray for their family. We pray for their ministry. Pray for their assignment. Lord, we pray that they would feel honored when she leaves this place tonight. I just want to say one thing as you're preparing to give. Some of us, most of us, are called to the marketplace to go out and compete for business to make money and to bring it back into the house of God. But if you do that out of assignment, you'll start to just live for yourself, start to live for destiny. And so I just wanted to reiterate to you, if you're feeling that you're called to the marketplace, and you know, how do I do that as an assignment? You can do that on assignment. That you can do that on assignment. In fact, if you don't do that, we can't reach the world. And so you need to get out of the marketplace and make millions of dollars and bring it back into the house of God. And we work together to reach the world. And that's how we do it. And so I just wanted to put that out there. You can dominate the marketplace on assignment. Amen? Come on, that's what we're called to do in San Diego. We're called to dominate every sphere of culture, but we're called to do it on assignment. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We've been to church. Let's go be the church. Make sure you drop that offering in the buckets on the way out or give online, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.